The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is from Joe Galusik. Visit us on the web at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I want to read to you from the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2 and beginning in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. This is the letter Paul wrote to Titus, a preacher, writing to a preacher. The apostle to the Gentiles, writing to a preacher whom he had put in the place he was in. And he was writing a letter of encouragement and a letter of warning. We need to be warned. This letter is just as vital for us as it was for Titus 2,000 years ago. What I want to speak to today, I have a title: Free Grace, the teacher of good works. Now, I borrowed this title from another preacher. He won't mind. He actually died in 1643. So I think it'll be okay with him. This man in particular was a preacher of God's sovereign grace, God's free grace. He was sometimes described, accused of being what is called an antinomian. Now, the word antinomian means to be against the law or against works of the law. Kind of made it nicer for me to borrow this title: Free Grace, the teacher of good works. Now, he wasn't an antinomian. I am not an antinomian. I am not against the law. The law is holy and the commandment is holy, just and good. And I can't keep the law. I cannot keep the law. And I'm going to tell you something else. You cannot keep the law. If you think you're keeping God's holy law, you're wrong. Jesus Christ narrowed down those 10 commandments, and that's not even close to a tenth of the law. But Jesus Christ narrowed down the 10 commandments to 2. The first one was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, all thy soul, all thy strength. And the second is like unto it. The second commandment is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's not a person on this earth who can love God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's not possible. It's not possible. Our hearts are still desperately wicked, even as believers, even as regenerated, made alive, converted believers, our hearts are still desperately wicked. The only good thing in us is the Holy Spirit. if you're a believer. The only good thing in us is from Him and not of ourselves. Now, if you want to use Wikipedia to look up antinomian, now, this is what it had in it. I have no idea what it says today, because sometimes some people change it. But it says, in Christianity, an antinomian is one who denies the fixed meaning and applicability of moral law and believes that salvation is attained solely through divine grace through faith. Many antinomians, however, believe that Christians will obey moral law despite being free from it. Well, if that's what an antinomian is, by Wikipedia's definition, I agree with that. I believe salvation is attained solely through divine grace, by divine grace, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. 4, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus, what? Unto good works. We do not believe in works for salvation. We believe in works because of salvation. And that, I believe, is what this scripture is teaching. In Romans 4, you'll find a thing about a fellow who worketh not, who doesn't work at all, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly, what? His faith is counted for him to righteousness, for righteousness. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. It doesn't say that the man doesn't have sin, but God will not impute it to him. And his faith, the faith given to him by grace, by the author and finisher of faith, that faith is counted for him for righteousness. And these are the same people. The one that worketh not and the one that works because of the work of God. They're both the same person. We don't work for salvation. We work because of salvation. Verse 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, I believe this verse completely. I really like this verse. But there are some people who have a tendency to take it way out of context and don't pay any attention to what the scripture actually says. So much so that I'm actually going to start out my exposition of this verse with a negative. This scripture, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men. This verse does not say and does not teach that salvation is brought to all men. Now, there are more Bible translations out there than you can shake a stick at. We use the King James Version. That's what we're used to. It's a very good version. It is derived in the New Testament part from what they call the Textus Receptus, which seems to be the best Greek manuscripts put together. Now, other versions use other Greek manuscripts and use a little bit of license to sin, in their translations. The American Standard Version has this verse as, for the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. That ain't right. God has shown us how kind He is by coming to save all people. That's the contemporary English version, and it's also wrong. For the grace of God, which carries with it salvation for all men, has appeared. That's in Darby, and that's wrong. For God has revealed His grace for the salvation of all people. That's the Good News Bible. They're all absolutely, positively wrong. That's not what Paul wrote here. That's not what this says in the King James Version or in the Greek. I'm not going to go into the Greek, but that's, you can take my word for it or you can look for yourself. It's not that hard. What it is saying is, the grace of God has been manifested to all men. The grace of God has been made known. It has been shown. It's been written down and put in the Bible. It is being preached by his true preachers wherever they are. The grace of God has been manifested to all men. The phrase that bringeth salvation is a descriptive phrase describing the grace of God. You understand? It is the grace of God that brings salvation. And that grace of God has been manifested, hath appeared, been made known to all men. Young's literal translation, which I happen to like pretty well most of the time, not always, but most of the time, puts it this way. For the saving grace of God was manifested to all men. It's the grace of God that's manifested. It's proclaimed. It's preached in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ has saved his people from their sins. And we proclaim that. And we proclaim it to all. This grace has been made known. It used to be a mystery. It's not a mystery anymore. It's written down here in my Bible in black and white. Sure, I've underlined some things in red, but it's written in black and white. The words are clear. But people want to say that God is trying to save every man, or that God has provided salvation for all men, every single individual. That's not what this scripture is teaching. This scripture is teaching that the grace of God has appeared, has been manifested, has been made known, is being shown to all men. Because if you want to see a little bit about what's going on here, you look at the next verse. Teaching us. You understand? The grace of God has appeared to all men. But then Paul is very specific in writing to Timothy, teaching us. Not all men, teaching us. The world does not receive the Holy Spirit of God. The world does not receive the gospel. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded the mind. John 14 and verse 16 says, I will pray the Father, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. This is speaking to his disciples. Verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, what? Whom the world cannot receive. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot receive. And it says, whom? The Spirit of truth is a person. Why? Because it seeth him not. What? Neither knoweth him. But ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Christ is speaking to his disciples in John chapter 14, and he's very plain here. There's no room for argument. There's no room for debate. There's no room for discussion as far as what he's talking about. The world cannot, it is incapable of receiving the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth is given to his people. He's not given to the world, and the world cannot receive him. The world doesn't see him. The world doesn't know him. The world does not know the Holy Spirit of God. The grace of God has been manifested. It has been shown. It has been spoken. It's being spoken to you right now. Jesus Christ saves sinners. Actually, he has saved sinners, and he is saving sinners. What else does he say about the Holy Spirit? Nevertheless, I tell you truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, this is Christ speaking, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And, this is John chapter 16, verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin, because they believe not on me. Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Verse 11, John 16, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The world doesn't see him. The world doesn't know him. The world cannot receive him. And he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit does have an effect on the world. But the world doesn't see him, doesn't know him, and cannot receive him. The Bible has been around for hundreds of years. The gospel of God's grace is preached to all men. The grace of God is proclaimed, preached to all indiscriminately. The sower sows seed on all four different types of ground. I like what Walter said about that the other day. There's four types of ground, but there's only two kinds of people. Those who receive him and those who do not. The sower sows the word on the ground where he has been placed, in his field. There are counterfeits, just as there are false apostles, deceitful workers. There are false Christians and false professors. The grace of God has been manifested and preached, and however, this, the grace of God being preached, the grace of God being manifested, the grace of God appearing to all men, it only teaches us who believe by the grace of God. That's what the next verse tells us. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. Verse 12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This is an explanation of the grace of God that brings salvation to us. This grace teaches us. Like I said, the grace of God has appeared to all men. But the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men, but it teaches us. There's a difference. There's a division made here. And it is deliberate, and it is divisive. Christ said, I don't think I came to give peace on earth, but rather division. Paul clarifies the result of this grace of God appearing, being manifested to all men. It teaches us. It doesn't teach all men. The grace of God does not teach all men. It never has, and it never will. It has appeared to all. It's been manifested to all. It's been shown to all kinds of men. But it does not teach all. It teaches us. Us. Paul is writing to Titus. He's writing to believers. That's the only ones who will understand the scriptures, is believers. And what does it teach us? To deny ungodliness, deny worldly lusts, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. the believer is in the world, not of the world. We are in this world, and we are to deny ungodliness. And I'll tell you this, one of the ungodlinesses that we are to deny is that salvation is by what men do. This is the grace of God that we're talking about, appearing to all men. The message of grace is that Jesus Christ has done it all. That's the gospel. There are works in the gospels. There are works in the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God's Son, the gospel of God, the one gospel. If any man preach another gospel, which is not another, let him be accursed. Paul said that twice. If any man preach any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. That's how serious this is. This is the gospel of God's grace. The grace of God has appeared to all men, and it teaches us to deny ungodliness. And teaching works for salvation, works by men for salvation. That's ungodly. That's ungodliness. And that's worldly lust also. Because men lust after power. They like to think they're in charge. They do. They have other lusts. But this is one of them. They want to deny the grace of God, which is in Jesus Christ. They want to be in charge of their own destiny. Well, it's not going to happen. God's not going to give any of his glory to any man. He's going to keep all the glory. Why? Because the glory is his. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of our Lord Jesus Christ and his work, not our work. Christ has done many wonderful things for us. Many things. Wonderful things. But never forget, the scriptures also state that Christ has done many things to us. And the message of grace teaches us to deny ungodliness, deny worldly lust, live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The message of grace, the grace of God, teaches the world nothing. Absolutely nothing. The world cannot receive the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't see him. The world doesn't know him. The world does not want him. But he teaches us. The grace of God has been manifested to us in a way that it is not manifested to the world. It's appeared to all men. But it only teaches us. You understand the difference here? We are looking, verse 13, for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. The world is not. We're looking for him. Our hope, our life, our salvation, and our message is in a person. It is in him who gave himself for us. He's the one who died for the ungodly. We know that hope because he is our hope and we know him now. And we are looking for him now. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I just have a couple of minutes and I'm going to read to you Titus 2 and verse 14. In the way that most people preach it. Not the way it's written, but this is the way most people preach it. You understand? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. And that looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself, now this is wrong, I'm going to tell you this, I'll tell you at the start and I'll tell you at the beginning, who gave himself for all, that he might redeem all from all iniquity and purify unto himself all people zealous of good works. Now that is the way most people preach about that verse or preach about Jesus Christ. But that is not what the Apostle Paul wrote. He wrote that Jesus Christ, the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, he gave himself for us. Why? That he might redeem us from all iniquity. What else? And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The grace of God has appeared to all men, but it teaches us what? Good works. Good works. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wondrous? Isn't that glorious? What does Ephesians 2 say? 4. By grace are ye saved, through faith. And what? That not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Why? 4. And we are his workmanship. We are his creation. Believers who are saved by grace through faith are his creation. It takes the power of God. But created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. Free grace, the teacher of good works. The message of grace is the only one we have. The message includes no works by man for salvation, but many works because of salvation. He works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Thank you.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Come hear Christ preached.